out and about. It's a running joke with my sister, that book Angela's Ashes about the tragedies of a working class Irish family. We laugh about it sounding like a picnic in the park. In comparison with our upbringing, I guess I always knew that if you lived through a lot of trauma, then guess what? It left you kind of fucked up. Shithead. I called him Shithead for so many years I forgot his name. I was 16 when we married. I thought I could save him. I have an unfortunate Joan of Arc complex at times, which I've really worked on. No one else is getting saved. Shithead was a batterer. He controlled me by hitting me. He was also a great one for asserting his legal rights. He actually waved our marriage certificate at me once before he raped me. I've made some errors of judgment in my life, but I have limited tolerance for bullshit. What ended my marriage was a number of things, punk being one of them. I saw a punk band on the telly, Headbanger and the Nosebleeds. It was the most exciting thing I'd seen ever. Working class people making noise and saying, fuck you. I thought, if I wasn't here, I could be there. Another thing was being kinky. Shithead was always buying underwear for me that he wanted to wear and asking me to tie him up. I cooperated by tying him up spread-eagled on the bed one night and then promptly exercising my newfound power by going out and leaving him there. The real end was a failed threesome. Shithead desperately wanted to have a threesome with me and my girlfriend, my best girlfriend, and it was the most exciting sexual proposition I'd had in a while. My friend and I had always fancied each other, so we went along with the idea. It didn't work out the way that Shithead expected. He was sat there at the end of the bed, twiddling his thumbs, as us two girls had a great time together. The beating after I got after that, that was it. He went to hit me, and something about the spirit of punk was there in me instead of the spirit of battered wife. I spied a pair of bolt cutters sat next to our door. He was coming towards me with that look on his face. I just picked up the bolt cutters and I swung them. Mid-swing, I realised that if those bolt cutters made contact with his head, then he'd be dead. I threw down the bolt cutters and I ran. I kept on running the whole 3 miles to my mum's house and I never went back. After that experiment with my best friend, there was no going back sexually either. I wasn't ready to call myself a lesbian. But I called myself bi for the next 6 years until I'd made 3 babies with 3 different men. Then I realised this bi thing wasn't really conjuring up any action for me with women. So I came out. Except I was a punk, and I was a pervy punk. I had to tone down my look to become visible to lesbians. So the leather miniskirt became a cotton hand-sewn miniskirt. The fishnets became woolen tights. My killer heels became monkey boots and so on. Most lesbians were too vanilla for me. I started having some fairly tedious sex with women. I have to say, I've got no sense of commitment to boring sex. I just cannot see it through. In those days, if you were looking for BDSM dykes, you had to go by clues. There was this one woman, there were rumours about her, that you had to watch out for her. Of course, she became instantly attractive to me. We got together, it was messy. If you were into SM in those days, you weren't allowed to be a member of Lesbian Line, the helpline for lesbians. I went for an interview and I got turned down. I fell into working with survivors. I was on the dole for years. Then I got into a government scheme. In those days, they actually trained you. I worked in the Queer Centre first, giving workshops about lesbian sexuality. I like knowing about my own body. Then there was a job going, working with survivors of sexual violence. I thought, I could do that. I wanted to give something back. 7 years later, I was still there. I'm not good at secretiveness. When I started at that place, it swiftly became apparent to my colleagues that I knew about all sorts of sexual practices. I had a very strong voice about the right of people to practice whatever they wanted to, as long as it was consensual. In the early years, I had arguments with colleagues about sex work, about younger people, about mothers who were survivors, about all the assumptions that were made, but I did it to improve the work environment. I don't think it's true that people can fix themselves by working with others. That's not really sustainable. So after 7 years working in the field of trauma, it was all banging off of me. I was recognising a load of stuff, but I never saw myself as having a mental health problem. So I had to look at my clients and think, hang on, why have these people been given these labels, these diagnoses? What's going on here? What people were describing to me were layers upon layers of trauma, but they were being given these labels: borderline personality disorder, schizophrenia, psychosis, bipolar, severe and enduring unipolar depression. Really wild fucking labels. And getting the message, you can't cope with what's going on in your life. These are people who've had hideous fucking experiences, a shed load of them, and guess what? They're having a perfectly normal reaction to it. Maybe in the future we won't need to label people anymore. Now we're making the links between trauma and labels and finally understanding that what we really need to do is address the trauma.